Should it be legal to kill the unborn because we're not sure when it becomes a person? And more broadly, how should Christians think about and approach reasoning from something that is uncertain to something that is certain? Well, stay tuned and find out on Unapologetic. I was listening to a podcast today, and I was reminded of an argument that is somewhat common for those who are not staunchly pro-life. And here's how it goes. We're not really sure when the unborn becomes a person, so the law shouldn't take a stance on if you can kill it or not. It should be permissible, since we're not sure. Now, there are a few things of note about this assertion. First would be that the assertion assumes that the unborn is alive. And in fact, like I've pointed out before, that is fairly uncontroversial. It is the product of two living cells that come together, and the organism grows by cell division. It takes in nutrients, it expels waste, it undergoes cellular respiration. All of these things, which are common criteria for defining that something is alive. So this question steps forward one step and says, well, is it a person? And personhood is not a scientific concept at all. It's a philosophical concept. It's a theological concept. I've covered this before on an episode entitled, Can Science Tell Us When Abortion is Okay? So the personhood question assumes that the unborn is alive. But it's trying to say, well, when do you become something that has value and dignity as a person? And I'm not really going to focus too much on that right now, except to say that personhood is a distractor from the main issue. Any conversation on personhood is generally going to go down the route of marginalizing someone that is alive. You might say that someone in a coma who hasn't woken up for 2 years or has neocortical brain death is no longer a person. Well, that's generally in an attempt to say, well, we can kill this person. And that's a very dangerous road to go down. In the future, I will do an episode on personhood. But what I want to focus on today is that the assertion that we're looking at says that if you don't know that it's a person, it should be legal to kill it. What other area of life do we apply that reasoning to? Let me give you an example. You're driving down the road, and your friend is in the passenger seat next to you. And he says, hey, I think that's a person up there in our lane. And you're like, no, I'm not so sure. I'm just going to keep driving. No, I'm pretty sure that's a person, he says, getting a little more worried as you're accelerating toward this thing that you're not sure is a person. And you're not swayed by his exclamations. This is a person. You need to move. And then suddenly, you run over the thing that you're not sure is a person. Well, it turns out it was a person. Now, what should you have done in this situation? And this is what we all do driving a car. If we think there's a person in the road, we stop, or we go in another lane. But we don't run over it saying, well, since we're not sure it's a person, it should just be legal to run it over. But that's exactly the logic being employed here by those on the left when it comes to abortion. We're not sure if it's a person, so it should be legal to kill it. Now remember, they've already a lot of times asserted to the fact that it's alive. The main question in their mind is it a person? And so what they're doing is they're reasoning from the uncertain to the certain. They're saying, I don't know if it's alive, so I'm going to take a position of certainty. It needs to be okay for people to kill it. If we're going to deal with life and death matters, shouldn't we be sure before we take a position that leads to something being killed? Well, in any other area of life, we would say yes. But for some reason, people kind of toss out just general rational principles when it comes to the area of abortion. And there's this parallel assertion generally, which says, well, I wouldn't have an abortion. I think it's wrong, but it should be right for other people to do it. It should be legal. So really, you think babies are being killed? It would be murder if you killed your child, you know, in utero, but other people should be allowed to kill their children in utero. I think when someone says this, that, well, I wouldn't do it, but it should be legal, you need to put it in terms of what's actually being talked about. So you wouldn't kill your unborn child, but other people should be allowed to kill their unborn child? Is that really what you're saying? Is that kind of like saying, I wouldn't kill my neighbor, but other people should be allowed to kill my neighbor? It's the same logic. If it's wrong for you, it's wrong for everyone else. Have some backbone. You know, if you're going to say that abortion should be legal, be consistent. Don't just say, well, I wouldn't do it, I think it's wrong, but other people should be allowed to do this wrong thing. That's totally inconsistent. But what I actually think is the person's moral knowledge that says that they wouldn't do it, that's actually a good instinct that society has kind of made intolerant. They've made it a hateful position. They've said you're against women, and this couldn't be further from the truth. If we want to say that women are liberated by having abortions, well, what does it mean? I mean, over 50% of the time, they're killing other women. So women are liberated by killing other women? Explain that to me. So this whole argument that I wouldn't do it, but it should be legal, that just shows a lack of backbone, a lack of consistency. And I honestly think it's kind of shameful. So what we've seen is you shouldn't reason from the uncertain to the certain. We looked at the example of saying that just because you're not sure if the unborn is a person, that doesn't mean you should be allowed to kill it. We need to err on the side of caution. We're after all, talking about human life. Well, here's another example of this uncertain to certain reasoning, and it deals with transgendered individuals. Now, Christians would say that you should not have a sex change operation, right? God created you the way you are, for better or for worse, and you shouldn't mutilate yourself to try and fit something that is not based in reality. So if you're a woman, genetically a woman, and you think you're a man, you should not go get surgery to become a man. You can't actually have a sex change operation. You can't change your sex. You can mutilate yourself, as sad as that is, but you can't change your sex because every cell in your body is testifying to what your sex is. They're either XX or XY the vast majority of the time, and mutilating your genitals doesn't change that. Now, in response to this, some people would point out intersex people. Now, you may not have heard of these, and it's actually a very interesting situation. These are people whose physical characteristics don't match their genes. So, for instance, they might have ambiguous genitals, or you might have a person who is genetically XX, which is usually expressed with female genitals, but they might have male genitals, or they might have a penis and yet have ovaries at the same time, or, like I said, they might just be ambiguous. And this is often thought of as kind of like the trump card against Christian worldview arguments that deal with transgendered issues. However, this is another example of the left oftentimes saying, well, we don't know what to do with intersex people, which is generally true. What do you do with someone who is genetically one thing, but physically and anatomically something else? That's a very difficult situation, and one I'm not going to try and offer an answer to today. But what they will often do is say, you can't know with the intersex people, so you can't know with the transgendered people. And that's not the case. That's another example of reasoning from the uncertain to the certain. And we shouldn't do that. It's okay to say we don't know in such and such of area, maybe intersex. But that doesn't mean we can't speak with confidence in the areas we do know about. The only reason you could say you shouldn't do this thing because of this other thing is if there's a direct correlation between the two, or the attributes of one directly flow to the attributes of the other. But that's not the case with intersex and transgender. It's not the case with saying we don't know it's a person, so you should be able to kill it. What you're doing is you're taking a certain stance in light of an uncertain reality. And we shouldn't reason that way. We don't live like that in any other area of life that I can think of. And so we shouldn't do it on these very important issues. Now, there's been so much left on the table today. I haven't talked about women's rights. I haven't talked about the fact that children might create a drain on the economy, or the issue of rape, or any of these things. And I haven't talked about suicide rates and transgendered surgeries and all of that. But the one thing I want to point out just right now is, and focus on today, is this: how we reason. Do we reason from the uncertain to the certain? Or do we reason from areas of certainty to other areas of certainty? And that's how it should be. That's the type of reasoning that puts things on the moon. You don't say, I'm not sure if this rocket is gonna make it, but let's go ahead and plan that launch and you know, fuel her up and hit the afterburners. We don't do that. We don't live like that in other areas. And so we shouldn't act like that in areas of moral and ethical and theological concern. So I hope this more short episode has been helpful and equipped you to kind of think about these two little areas of abortion, specifically dealing with, we don't know if it's a person, so we should be allowed to kill it, and the intersex transgender relationship. Wikipedia has a page on intersex if you're interested. That might help explain a little more of the details. I always am hesitant to go into too much detail about some of these things, not totally knowing where someone will be listening to this or who might be listening to it. And you can check that out if you're interested. The last thing I want to say is that while on this podcast, we often deal with the facts and stark realities of the situations we talk about, sometimes that can come across as cold, indifferent, or even harsh. And that's never my intent. Some people are a little more emotive than I am, and so one of my struggles is conveying how I actually feel about issues when I'm telling you how I think about them. And there's something that should be said anytime we talk about issues like abortion or homosexuality or transgender or intersex concerns. And that is that the goal is not a moral life for people. The goal is salvation in Christ. And so when we talk with someone about abortion, whether they've had one, whether they're contemplating one, what we need to say is that, no, this is wrong. We need to speak with moral clarity in the circumstance, with conviction, but we need to do it in such a way that there's kindness, that we express that there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross, that I have sinned, you have sinned, we all will continue to, but Christ's blood, if we are in Christ, ultimately covers that sin. And with regards to transgendered issues and people who feel confused about what their gender is or what body they're in, we shouldn't be surprised that this happens in a Genesis 3, a fallen world, but we should have compassion towards them. These people are not our enemies by any stretch of the imagination. They are people just like us for whom the gospel should be a breath of fresh air. And so when we speak with people, we don't just need to tell them the facts of the situation, which I am very prone to do. We also need to include the good news that there is always hope if you come to Christ. Thanks for spending part of your day with me. I look forward to spending this time with you next week on Unapologetic.